When Fiat took over Chrysler, the new company's CEO, Sergio Marchionne, established what he calls brand CEOs, who have profit and loss responsibilities for their brands, something that's never been done by an automaker before. He also gave these direct reports of his two different jobs to do. On today's show, we've got one of those direct reports joining us. Ralph Gilles is both the CEO of the Dodge brand and the head of styling for the entire Chrysler group. As it races to recover from bankruptcy and a less than stellar image in the marketplace, Dodge is bringing out six new models this year. Would that be enough to revive the brand? We'll let you be the judge as you listen to what the CEO of Dodge has to say about it.
From our studios in the Motor City, this is Autoline. Here now is John McElroy.
Thanks for joining us here in the studio with Ralph Gilles, the CEO of the Dodge brand and the head of all styling for the Chrysler group. Great having you back here with us on Autoline.
See you again.
And also joining us today, Jeff Gilbert from WWJ News Radio 950. Great having you here, Jeff.
Thanks, John.
And Natalie Neff from AutoWeek magazine. Great to have you back, too,
as well. Here.
Well, let's talk Dodge and design at Chrysler. Okay. But one of the criticisms that really applied to the entire Chrysler group for last year's performance, including Dodge, is you guys sold so many fleet cars, as you know, to the daily rental companies, to government agencies, and to corporate fleets as well. Retail is where everyone says you guys got to get to. What can you update us in that
regard? I would look at it differently. I would say our fleet performance is relatively flat. We have a great group of customers we work with, great rental clients, a lot of good fleet, police fleet, stuff like that. They have a standard need. It doesn't go away. They have people that get on vacation and need so many cars. So I would say that's remained flat, and it's actually staying flat. This month alone, we're about doing half as much fleet as we did last year. So retail is actually now the predominant sales force for the Dodge brand. And there are a few cars, like the Caliber and things like that, that work very well as fleet, and we get a lot of demand. We're already supposed to know, turn them away, you know. So certain nameplates, we kind of look at each other and say, okay, that's okay for fleet. Other ones we protect. And then the police fleet, to me, is juicy. That is some great fleet. Yeah, actually, it's profitable. We don't lose money on those units at all. It's great for the image of the Dodge brand, and we learn a lot. The cops give us great feedback. So fleet can work if you treat it with respect.
Retail-wise, do you think you'll be where the industry average is? Are you going to be able to get to
that? Yeah, I'm actually interested. A lot of our competitors, especially the Asians, are starting to look at fleet. I mean, I've seen numbers from Toyota that I've never seen. They're relying on fleet quite a bit to bolster their numbers, and we're doing the opposite. You know, our fleet's come down dramatically this year overall as a company, and Dodge is ebbing its way down, and our incentives are under control. We underspent the other OEMs big time, you know, the local guys. So we're on the right path, but product is king. You know, you're talking about 2010 when we had a dearth of new product, no new product that year. And we're starting 2011 with more new products than any other manufacturer, six all told, right? So that all together helps. You know.
What about the availability of that new product? As you ramp so many new products into the system, is there any problem with a situation where you don't quite have the inventories of the new stuff that you're looking for?
Absolutely. There's definitely inventory issues, but we know what they are. Most of it is a couple things. A lot of it's quality holds. We're just choosing not to ship. We're being very, very stringent about what we ship nowadays. And some of it is just our suppliers coming back up to speed. You know, they're still cleaning their ears out. What did you want? How many of those did you want? You know, so everyone's a bit surprised how much volume we're actually doing. Even ourselves, the orders are very strong. The dealers are ordered over 50% what they've ever have. So everyone is kind of like dusting themselves. Ah, hey, let's get back into this. So it's not a problem. The ones that are landing are turning very quickly. So the shoppers are coming out of the woodwork, which is great.
And I know product is absolutely king, but another thing that Dodge has taken a hit for over the last few years is quality, and particularly the quality of the interiors. And I know that you guys are making a push in that direction also. Can you talk a little bit?
I wouldn't call it just a push. It's been a point of obsession for us. I mean, about 4 years ago, we started the interior studios. And then when Sergio came along about two years ago, he even pushed us even more. And he asked for a little more higher quality, more details, especially in the coloring, the color choices that we used. So you take that effort from the inside and the effort from the leadership team, and then my personal interest in the matter, and I think the interiors are second to none. We've had some journalists look at the new Journey and say it's the best in its segment, and we've never heard comments like that. And the Charger, one of your competitive magazines, said it's a solid A on the interior, right? So a lot of that kind of commentary that we just simply have never received. And now we're starting to get it from our customers. We're, you know, these vehicles are just landing in dealerships. I had a dealer, a friend of mine in Florida, call me who said, just drove the new Charger. Ralph, I can't believe it. I've heard you describe it, but until you sit in there and you start poking around, and saying, everything is soft, the pillars are wrapped, everything is super comfortable, it smells like real leather, it feels like real leather, because it is. You know, that all adds up, and I think in the long run that'll be behind us.
How much of a risk is higher gas prices, and even more so, the volatility? Caliber, of course, is the smallest car you have in the lineup.
Yeah.
Eventually, you'll have things that are smaller coming. But right now, how much of a risk is that for you?
Well, I think I'm looking at that, too. We can't, everyone's concerned. You have to be. But then there's needs, right? People are not going to run out of what they need. There's the fickle buyer that right now wants the 35-mile-per-gallon car. And we make an Avenger that has 31 miles per gallon, which is a credible car now, the D-segment player we finally have. Which is actually just as good as a Caliber for fuel economy. But our new Charger gets 27 miles per gallon in a full-size car, which is not something you'd normally associate to that segment of car, but we've worked really hard to make the Pentastar efficient in every application it's in. And it's really understressed in the car the size of the Charger because the vehicle demand is down so much. Great aerodynamics, lower rolling resistance, better shift schedule calibration. But in the case of Dodge, we're not going to give up on power. We're big believers in horsepower. So our horsepower went up 25% in all our 2011s, but the fuel economy went up 10%. So we believe you can have your cake and eat it too, but you can't give up on performance.
Now, with the high end with the Durango, it's obviously off to a great start. Any concern that that could be hurt by the higher prices?
Then you look at total cost of ownership. So we've cleaned that part of it up, right? So the vehicle is a much higher quality proposition, has better residual values. So if the smarter shoppers will look at the total ownership experience, and even if it got two or three miles per gallon more over its life cycle, that's not even $1,500. So you really have to look at the total ownership experience, and you can't beat the value of the new Durango.
I think also to the point, people are very excited about the Durango, mm-hmm. but I see it also as a push across the board with mm-hmm. Dodge mm-hmm. in looking at a almost getting back to your roots sort of thing where you're getting a more masculine push
yes.
across the line. And we yeah. saw in Chicago some examples of that, and you mentioned
yeah.
the Charger.
I mean, we're big believers in performance, you know, and the problem with my brand is we have almost standalone brands, like Challenger is a standalone name, Charger's becoming that way, Caravan is even a name unto itself, and the Viper, you know, so everyone forgets to mention Dodge. You know, so we're trying to unify Dodge as the performance arm of the company, but still a mass player. We're not just going to get into niches. So what I'm trying to do with the Dodge brand is bring performance to the common person. You don't have to spend twice the amount of money to get this kind of performance. The Charger is a great example. Starts at $26,000, has over $2,600 more content at that price. So we're giving people a lot more for their money and trying to escape the incentive whirlwind. You know, we'd rather put more in the vehicle, keep its residuals higher, and get that buyer talking about his car to his friend at the bar, you know. So that's where we're going.
One of the interesting things that happened to Chrysler when Sergio Marchionne and Fiat took it over is splitting the Dodge brand and taking Dodge trucks and mm-hmm. calling them Ram.
Yeah.
Has that helped the Dodge brand at all, and if so, how?
It is in a way. You know, I went to the race in Daytona, and a young man come up to me and goes, are you Mr. Gill? And I go, yes, I am. He goes, I love what you're doing with the Dodge brand, you know. So we're just getting started. And what Ram is doing is they're marketing in a very cool way. I mean, you have Sam Elliott's voice, very gritty, authentic commercials, and it simply wouldn't work. And Sergio really is a big believer, and as we are as well, a big believer in branding, you know. And if to really make these things live and have equity forever is to start separating the brands and give them their own identities. Because why else would we have four brands? Everyone's consolidating brands. We're doing the opposite. We're expanding brands a little bit. We have four brands plus Fiat now. And even Mopar is a bit of a brand unto itself. And we're marketing them. We're actually going to enjoy that.
Has that freed up the styling of what you
yeah.
can do, though? I mean,
a
truck versus car?
I can be a little braver. I don't need to worry. There are some areas where it's a little gray because, you know, let's be honest, the Durango started life out as a Dodge. You know, it was going to be a truck. And we decided to make it a crossover, and we did, and it is. We changed the suspension tune of it. It drives like a car. It's really fun to drive, so it fits perfectly in the envelope of Dodge. But every Dodge is going to have a distinctive driving characteristic that's fun, very sporty, fun, and always have a powerful derivative.
You had mentioned not being pulled into the whirlwind of incentives, and that's
yeah.
something I've heard Sergio Marchionne talk about many times. How difficult is it to resist out there when some of your competitors are putting $1,000 or more in incentives above what you're doing?
We're watching it, and our dealers are obviously they're in a tough spot, right? You have a guy down the street giving cars away. You have to be careful with that. But it's a short-lived thing. I mean, what happened to us is we launched in the middle of a model year. A lot of people are already starting to have their decay of their model year, so that's a bit of a challenge for us. But at the same time, I think people that actually sit in the vehicles are actually finally, for the first time, sitting there going, well, you know what, this may be worth a few grand more than I thought. And that's what we're counting on. So we have enough incentive out there to help the deal, because you got some people come in with a little bit of negative equity, or they need something to help with their down payment. So that's something we're aware of, and we're finding clever ways to do that that doesn't necessarily end up on the hood, so to speak, so you don't depreciate your vehicle and become the company that's always on sale. And that's hurt us in the past, you know, and I think they should beware, because I think when you get great brands starting to do that to themselves, they're eroding the nature. You never see Apple, you know, put big discount stickers all over their products. So I think as an automotive companies, as all of us, need to be careful with that, or else we basically devalue the products all around.
I have to ask, Auto Week basically speaks to a more enthusiast audience, and you mentioned Viper.
Yeah. I did. That was before we were on air.
Can you talk a little bit about what we know about Viper? I know there was talk for a while of trying to sell it off as a standalone, but I think it's still alive. Can you talk about it?
It's very much alive. It was approved. It was approved by the board, and Sergio gave it the thumbs up. We're well on our way. We're in our first year of development. We have test vehicles all over. They're hidden. You wouldn't know it. One would drive right by it, you wouldn't realize it was the 2013 car. So we're developing it. So I said in Chicago, it went to the Supercar Olympics. It's training for the Supercar Olympics. So it'll be back in the summer of 20, less than a year, about a year from now.
A Dodge platform, though? An evolution of...
I can't talk about that.
Okay, can you say whether it is going to be a huge leap from what you had before? Will it be very different looking?
It's up to your perception. You may see it and think it is, or you may see it and think it is. So I don't want to put anything in anybody's mind. So
can you say how you hide a Viper? Because that
all I know is I love it. Every once in a while when I get a little bit down, I go to the studio and I look at the 2013 car and it puts a smile on my face. So let's just put it at that. Yeah.
When you get to branding, of course, advertising marketing plays a huge role in that. You guys got great accolades for the Charger ad with George Washington charging into battle with that. Now, I haven't seen it yet, but somebody was just telling me they saw a new Durango ad where you're actually talking about this car hasn't been around for a couple of years now. Why would you do that? Why would you start pointing out that, hey, this hasn't been
that's
here?
That's part of our attitude at Dodge. We're very upfront. You know, there's nothing. We're not hiding by anything. We know exactly who we are. We know who you think we are. You know, so we're playing on that a little bit. This is what you think we are, and here's what we're doing about it. And so the Durango ad talks exactly about it. It went away for 2 years and went to Europe to learn how to drive, and it got all this. And people are noticing it. They say, hey, that's pretty honest of you to admit that you maybe were here, and now you're here trying to be here. And it's working. So we're just trying to go on our own merits, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. That Durango is solid through and through.
That seems to be a recurring theme in Chrysler Group right now is honesty. And not that any other people or companies lie in their advertising, but Jeep is, you know, this, you know, you are what you make what you are. You know, Chrysler got all these accolades for the Super Bowl ad with M&M imported from Detroit tagline. Yeah. You guys seem to be having a lot of fun with what you're doing in advertising.
You know, it happens when you have people that believe in their brands. You know, having the four brand heads, we protect our brands like our own family, you know, like our children kind of thing, our product. And it comes out, and you start thinking of ways to have a conversation with America instead of just trying to schlep cars. You know, let's open up the discussion. We know there's a perception about American cars. We know there's a perception about quality and all that stuff. And we're ahead of that. You know, the myth is actually, it's a myth at this point. You know, we're far beyond that. If you've ever test driven an American car of late, you know the gap is almost nothing. So it's really a perception game. So the marketing is the big step in the right direction to get that behind us.
Has Dodge gotten any halo effect at all from the Super Bowl ad for the Chrysler brand?
Ford has. Everybody has. I mean, Detroit in general has. And that we didn't expect that. I remember seeing the spot maybe 3 weeks before it went on air, and all of us were like quiet in the room. It was like, whoa, that was powerful. It was much more powerful. Matter of fact, I had a one-minute spot, and I pulled it so they could have the full 2 minutes, and I thought that was an absolutely right thing to do. Because all of us, I mean, Sergio, because he grew up in Windsor, you know, he spent some time in Windsor going to school. He has respect for the Midwest in general, understands the issues. And it was such a powerful spot for the Midwest area in general, the Great Lakes area. You know, just, hey, you know, this has been through, this area went through the roughest time. And this speaks to that, you know, say, we're not who you think we are, you know, and that's good.
Earlier, Jeff mentioned that you guys are going to be getting a small car, B-class car specifically, somewhere around...
Where did he get that information?
Well, you guys gave that all out. Remember a year ago or something, you told us everything. How's Dodge going to market a B-size car when you want to be performance?
All I know is we have a partner in Fiat that knows how to do that very, very well. And they're experts at that. That's what they rule. So we're still looking at how we're going to do that. You know, we're well underway with projects pertaining to that. I can't get into that marketing. We don't own that space. You know, Fiat is going to get in there and penetrate with the new 500 and actually get people into our showrooms that have never come to our showrooms. I mean, the average person looking at a 500 is probably an incremental customer to us. But I think that small car segment is something that's fertile. It's something that needs to be developed in America as, you know, as we get the similar pressures to Canada, similar pressures to Europe are coming our way. So it's a matter of time. So we're well-positioned as a total company. We have a great war chest to pick from, having Fiat as a great partner. So it's just a matter of flipping the switch.
And kind of on the flip side of that, we're seeing news that most of the Dodge product is going to be picked up by the Fiat brand and rebadged in Europe. Under Fiat, and I think the first one I saw was the Fremont, which
yes.
is the rebadged Journey.
Shown in Geneva, yeah.
And I think that speaks to, you know, the faith that Fiat has in Dodge as a whole mm-hmm. in terms of rebadging that for the European market.
Yeah, and they're enjoying the 2011 Journey, which has a new interior, and we actually worked together, and the fascia was intended for Europe, and we're actually going to use that fascia in the in next month. We're actually shipping the new fascia here to give it a new look. So both companies benefited, and that's a sign of how quickly and how well the partnership's working. And Dodge will still be at large. We're still going to be in foreign countries as specialty cars. So Challengers, you know, Vipers mm-hmm. will still be able to be imported in places that want them. So,
you mentioned that you had gone to the Daytona 500 earlier this year.
Yeah.
Motor racing obviously is important to Dodge. What about beyond NASCAR, though?
Well, we're doing something very interesting. We're actually sponsoring AMA Supercross. We have a deal with Hart &
Motorcycles?
Yes, yes.
Now, wait a minute. You guys yeah. don't make motorcycles.
I know we don't, but we love the kids that watch it. So we're kind of getting ready for our next car that's coming up, you know, kind of talking to that younger customer, the 16 to the 28-year-old, 30-year-old that's into Supercross. And it's a great space. Wow. I mean, a really, really family. We didn't expect that. We went there, and we see families and their sons learning how to do this stuff. And then we go to see the big boys doing it. And Carrie Hart is awesome. And he's married to Pink, which makes him even cooler. Loves our brand. Has already converted his fleet to Dodges. And his friends are doing so. So it's kind of a viral penetration of this world that we totally ignored only a few years ago. So we're doing that. We're also looking at other kinds of motorsports, grassroots motorsports, getting a lot of people knocking on our doors to get the Challenger on the track. So it's something we're considering. And beyond that, it's, you know, the sky's the limit. It's just a matter of funding. I've got to make money to spend it.
And, of course, Mopar has come out with a flat-out drag
yes.
racing version of the Challenger.
Yeah.
In fact, they're even branding a Mopar Challenger. What do you think about that, of Mopar taking one of your cars and putting their brand name on it?
Pietro's a genius. I mean, I think what he's doing is great. The Mopar is a brand. People, they say Mopar or no car, right? You know, so it's a bit of the, they call their Challengers Mopar, so there's a great culture there that we have to respect. And I think that's what he's doing. He's respecting the culture that's already established. And when a lot of people gave up on those cars, these guys were still tuning them up and saving them from the junkyards and turning them into precious treasures again. So Mopar is basically saying, hey, I'm here for you, and let's have some fun.
I have to say one of my favorite cars early this year at the Detroit Auto Show was the Mopar Fiat. I don't know if you
yeah.
saw that.
Yeah.
500.
Yeah.
Did you
yeah.
notice at the
car.
Detroit show, Mopar had one of each. They had one
right,
of every
right.
nameplate to show that, hey, we're partners here. So
yeah, sure. Very fun.
You've brought in a lot of younger designers in the last year or so. You've had a lot of new blood in there. What kind of impact has that had on the culture of your team and the way you look at products? Because obviously you're talking to these younger people. You're trying to get into their minds as well.
We haven't hired as many as that. I mean, we're constantly tilling the soil. We're always looking for young talent because it's their minds are basically unpolluted, right? They're fresh minds. They don't know enough to not know, you know, what not to do. So I love that. And I love to keep the innocence as long as possible. And they bring a fresh perspectives. A lot of designers don't come from Detroit. They come from other places, sometimes internationally, sometimes from the West Coast. So they bring a totally different perspective that is kind of eye-opening for us, the perception of the brands as well as the product. So, yeah, and the thing about the rumor at Chrysler, or when you come to work at Chrysler, you're on a car ASAP. You know, at other companies, you can sketch for 5 years, and maybe you get a bumper or a headlamp or something. We've had people less than 2 years get an entire car. So it's just about, hey, if you got the right idea, we'll support you. And that's why they like working.
How much do you work with the design staff in Fiat in Italy? I mean, since you are getting their platforms, or do you want to not have, to use your word, anything polluted by taking that platform making it your own?
No, I talked to Lorenzo Ramaciotti. He's my equivalent over there, and we have a weekly video conference because we're sharing a lot now. It's actually starting to get to the point where there's a lot of sister projects, and it's a great relationship. We have a lot of mutual respect. I've been there several times, walked through, and he's been over, walked through, so it's open book. But at the same time, we're very protective of our brands. We have to be careful not to start mixing and moshing. In some places, it makes sense. You saw what we did with Lancia and the 300 and the minivan. And those were kind of, those companies actually have similar pasts. They're actually fairly old companies, both luxury companies, near luxury in some cases. So in that case, it works. But otherwise, when it's a new project, we're very careful to design true to the brands.
One of the trends that we're seeing at all the auto shows these days are, first it was matte paint. you know, just flat matte. Now they seem to be going to what I'm calling a satin finish. No depth of gloss, but it's not that flat look. What's your view of that?
It's actually the trick with that. It's actually a matte clear. It's the same undercoat with a matte clear, which gives us the best result, and it hides a bit of the marring and nicking. I think it's a trend. We're actually looking at it ourselves. We've got a lot of demands for it, a lot of dealers. Not the dealers themselves, but their sons are asking, hey, you guys need to be making, because we go to these dealer meetings and their sons that co-own the stores are asking us for this stuff. So we're very interested in that. But the problem is the OEMs were so careful about our testing procedures that by the time we're done with it, the fad could be gone, you know. So so we got to be very careful with it. But I think it's cool in applications. It could work for SRT products and very niche products. So stay tuned.
And what other trends do you see coming? I mean, one of these, the things that we've seen in the last decade is so much more work being put into the headlamps.
Yes.
That,
yes.
You know, I remember going to Kmart and buying a round sealed beam for $1.98.
Now
you're looking at something this big that's hundreds of dollars if you've got to replace
it. Or the tail lamps in the case of the
Charger, yeah.
Yeah, the Charger with the 164 LEDs making up the tail lights.
You were paying attention. Yeah, it is. And customers respond to it. They actually ask for LEDs. I want that look, you know. And on the 300, we have the signature LED. The 200 has the light pipes. And they're sculptures, and we treat them as such. You know, designers actually sketch them as if they're full-size cars and they're headlamps. You know, the headlamps on the new 300 were inspired by Eagle's Eye. You know, so we actually had the designer sketch an Eagle's Eye, and then that's, if you look at it, you're like, yeah, I guess it does, you know. So,
and people respond.
Yeah, they like
seriously
it.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's the technology is such that anything is possible. With the computer simulation, we can test the light throw. And with the proliferation of projector beams, the rest is art. Once the projector does its work, the rest is just there to be art. So in the old days, the reflector had to be, you know, throw the light, but now it's just there to support the look of the car.
Now, in Chicago, you introduced your man van, Ram, and Sergio Marchionne in Detroit talked about really differentiating the minivans from Chrysler to Dodge. Yeah. Where do you see the whole minivan situation fitting into the Dodge brand?
Well, we've done a few things. We started already at the end of last year and really in the 2011 model year, we've separated the pricing structure and the option structure. So, Dodge owns the entry level. We don't really offer leather except for on the RT. Now, there's certain features that are preserved for the Town and Country, like projector headlamps, woods, the clock, a lot more jewelry on the vehicle. And it's actually working. We're seeing a very different shopper. They don't cross-shop each other anymore, which is interesting, only a few in the middle. And the man van is that experiment taken to the extreme to see what happens. I have no idea what's going to happen, but we're taking a leap of faith here and doing an all-black minivan interior. And when you drive the vehicle, I've driven the prototype, and it feels really cool. It's like it changes the whole feeling of the car. It's like, wow. And then the suspension is very stiff, a lot stiffer than you'd expect. And because the lower center of gravity is so low on a minivan, it handles a lot better than you'd think. So taking that Pentastar engine, which is already the best in class, we thought, why not make it handle? And the end result is freakishly good. So we'll see. It'll hopefully have its following. It's maybe the guy who makes model airplanes or is a dog rescuer or something, or maybe a family that's just got an image, you know, to preserve. So we'll see, you know.
Do you think the Dodge brand is where it's got to be right now? I mean, we talked about what you can't talk about, which is a B-class car coming at some point.
But I can talk about the C-car. I mean, that's been public knowledge. We have a C-car coming out in less than a year's time, which is our first true Fiat-derived platform that we're sketching on and developing. And that's an incremental customer in my mind. You know, we exited that market somewhat with the Neon. When Neon went away, we really didn't have a car. The Caliber's a bit different proposition being a... So we're excited by that. And we're already starting to figure out how we're going to sell this because we really... That customer doesn't know us. And Dodge does great with our kind of our Challenger fans and Charger fans, even the Durango, huge car park, over a million owners of the old car. So it's really that customer that's my
But aren't you kind of there right now with the Avenger?
A little bit. There's a little crossover, but the truly compact segment is something we don't play in right now. So I can't wait. I think when they discover our brand, they'll be relieved to say, hey, you can have efficiency, you can have an attitude, be cool, and be, you know, have an efficient car to boot. So. But the big trend I see is infotainment. I think that's the next battleground. It's already happening. And we have to tread very carefully here because there's almost too much you can do in a car. So that's where
NHTSA says, right? Yeah. Hood, the transportation secretary says this is all distracting.
And if you play with our system, we're spending a lot of time trying to make it elegant to use. So it's not a bother. It's not dangerous. And it's fun. I mean, in so doing, you tackle the problems differently. So we're looking at it. It took us a while. We're not going to be, you know, as aggressive as maybe Ford is right now. But we're really focusing on usability. So,
on the subject of technology, does Dodge need a hybrid?
Eventually, I believe. I think the technology is still not the proposition isn't quite there overall. The cost of ownership, the benefit, We are working on the technology. The know-how is within us. We do have the staff that knows how to do it. We still actually had just now pulling back Aspens from taxi duty all over America, and we learned a lot from that project. So that group, the electric drive group, is alive and well. And a lot of that team is working on the 500 electric vehicle, which comes out in about a year and a half or so, which is really a serious project. So we're kind of in a learn mode, but as a business case, it doesn't really work for us right now, but it's on a horizon.
And real quick, we're down to the end here. Yep. Diesels, any chance for diesels and Dodges?
I love diesel. I'm a big fan of diesels, and we make the Fremont you talked about a minute ago.
In Europe, you've got a diesel.
We have diesels everywhere in Europe.
But what about here in the U.S.?
Again, it's the convergence. The technology is very expensive for the average American to swallow. Where it makes sense, we have it, obviously, in the Ram area, but I'm intrigued. I would like to see it. I like what Volkswagen is doing. It's kind of penetrating the market for us. And we can do it with a flip of the switch once America's ready.
And with that, we're going to have to wrap it up. Ralph Gilles, thanks so much for coming in and bringing us up to date on Dodge and design at Chrysler well. And Jeff Gilbert, Natalie Neff, thanks for having you guys here, too. And I'll be back in a moment with some closing thoughts. When you look at the sales figures, there's no question that Dodge is making progress. Their sales are up by double digits. But with fuel prices starting to make their impact on the market, we'll have to see if Dodge can keep the momentum going. This is a pivotal year for Chrysler. It's got to sell out the cars that it's putting in its showrooms, and it has to return to a net profit before the year is out, because sometime later in the year, the company plans to go public again. We'll keep you posted on the company's progress, so please join us again next week as Autoline keeps you up to date on the people, the products, and the news happening in the automotive industry.